All right, what's up, everybody? This is Pat Healy from the Brooklyn Boxing Podcast. I am joined by Alicia Napoleon Espinoza, aka the Empress. Thanks for joining the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Pat. Thanks for having me. Took a while, but finally here.
All good. I appreciate you coming on. And you know, I was looking at your career and some of your backstory, but you know, right away, the Empress, the nickname, I love it. And I don't know if I'm gonna test your MMA knowledge on this one, but I don't know if you know Fedor Emelianenko, the last emperor. He's a big time Russian MMA fighter. He's retired now, but similar nickname, and you know, I love the idea of it, the Empress.
That's cool. I didn't know that there was an MMA fighter with his ring name as Emperor. But Empress came from when I was an amateur. Come here, Ravioli. Ravioli, sorry, I gotta bring Ravioli in it. he's running around and barking during this interview. Yeah, so when I was fighting as an amateur, towards the end of my amateur career, I fought for the NYABC belt in Long Island, and a ring announcer was like, "What's your ring name?" And I'm like, "I don't know, I don't really have one. You know, there's a couple names that float around the gym, but nothing really stuck." And so he looked at the paperwork, he's like, "Napoleon." He goes, "You're the Empress." And I was like, why didn't I think of that? Like one of those moments, like just flew right over my head my entire amateur career. And I was like, that just is so perfect. So I kept it. I kept it because it just, you know, my name is Napoleon. So what better name than the Empress?
Yeah, no, it's a great name going into the ring. And, you know, I think it fits well. So, and you know, your last name, as you mentioned, obviously Italian family growing up.
Oh yeah. Full Sicilian, full blooded. Hot tempered, big eating appetite, and you know, real Long Island accent. Like, yeah, just total Long Island girl.
Yep. So growing up, that big, you know, Italian family. You know, I know your past growing up, you said you were a big baseball fan, and that's obviously a big part of the culture of New York with the Yankees and, you know, the Mets, more the Yankees, I would say, but no shit.
Yeah, you know, that was a Mets fan. But everybody's fans. But yeah. I'm always for the dogs, so.
I mean, you know, growing up, you're a baseball fan. You wanted to compete in baseball, but eventually it led you to boxing. And you know, your family is very supportive of you now. I've seen, you know, pictures of you and your dad, and before fights and things like that. But I'm sure, you know, in a traditional Italian household, there was probably some pushback, right, when you wanted to get into boxing? Or I could be wrong. I'm not sure.
No, there was definitely pushback. You know, my life growing up, it had a lot of good and a lot of bad. And I think for most people, everybody has their battles and their struggles. You know, traditional Italian family, except for the fact that my father was, like, involved with like Hell's Angels and East Legion and a lot of those biker gangs, and he was a bit of a rolling stone. He was around, but not as much as I would have liked him to have been. So I think as a young kid, I was always athletic, I was always competitive, and I always really hungered for my parents' attention, especially my father. I think little girls always want, you know, to be daddy's girls and have them around, have them proud of them. So I think I was very feminine, but I was also very much a tomboy. And I thought maybe subconsciously, I thought that would get my father's attention to be around and, you know, throw a ball with me or come to my games and stuff like that. He came to a couple, but for the most part, he worked a lot and he had his gangs and he did his thing. But, you know, my mother's father, my papi, was a big sports fanatic, a huge Mets fan. So he got me into baseball at 5 years old. And I started playing at five, and I was the only girl. They called me Big Al. It was lovely growing up with that nickname, let me tell you, Big Al. But I was always a strong kid. I was the only one that would hit home runs when I started that young with the boys. I would slide into home plate. I mean, I was always an amazing athlete. So I loved it. So being introduced to baseball at five and loving it and starting to play so young, that's what I wanted to do. And my papi was like, you can't be a professional baseball player. because I was a girl. I didn't understand that. I did not comprehend that at such a young age. Why am I being told at 5 years old, I can't, you know, reach my dreams. I can't do what I want to do. And so that's where the fight began. It started young. So then growing up and then wanting my parents around. And I just, I was built to be a fighter and a pioneer for what's right and to break barriers, stereotypes, and to do all sorts of things. And I ended up doing it in the boxing world, but I wanted to translate to all other avenues of where women struggle for equality.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's really a lot of like monumental things going on within women's boxing today. Like even Michaela Mayer a few weeks ago was, I think, the first woman to headline a top ranked show in, I can't remember the exact amount of years, but it was, you know, well over 10 years, well over 15, I want to say. And on one side of the coin, it's like, why is that? You see in the UFC, obviously there's women, you know, headlining cards and creating big buzz. In boxing, it seems like there's more attention now on the women. It seems like it's a movement. It's trying to grow, but definitely something that's been missing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm a big believer in the fact that if you put us out there, for the world to see, they'll naturally become attracted and they'll be on board, and we'll generate those fans and we'll generate those ticket sales.
Right.
But the more you're putting us behind on the back end, where we're not on TV, where we're not fighting on the undercards that make the TV, where we're the fly fight, where we fight after the main event and the crowd leaves, they're not going to take us seriously. They're going to look at us like a sideshow. There's still a lot of stigmatism against the women in the ring that needs to change. You know, recently I put a tweet out there because I was watching the McCaskill versus Brackhouse fight.
Yeah.
And Sergio Mora is, I like him. He's a great commentator. He's great. But he's always making these comments. Every time a woman fights, he's always, they should be fighting three rounds. Why are they not fighting three rounds? Women don't get knockouts because they don't fight three rounds. We would see more knockouts. And that's not true, because there are knockouts in women. Like, you know, Superbad, her last fight on the zone, knocked that girl out in like the first freaking round. And she's not the only one. There's knockouts. My theory behind that, which I know a lot of people would believe in my theory because it's very true, is that women, because we're in this place where we're hungry for the exposure and the payday, we fight the best. So that's one of the reasons why you might not see as many knockouts, but you do see them. They do exist, but we're in harder fights. We're not fighting tomato cans. We're fighting girls that are at equal level. Even my last fight on Showtime, my debut on Showtime,
right,
I fought a champion. I could have fought somebody else. I didn't.
This fight, I mean, razor close decision, but I mean, talk about a fight that delivered in terms of the excitement and entertainment. Exactly.
Whether we were male or female, we got so much respect. We gained so many fans that night, Elin and I. We were the best fighter that night, and right, it was razor close. I lost by 1 point, but I'd do it all over again. Because it was an amazing show. We did something for women's boxing. We proved that we should be paid more. We proved that we're entertaining. We proved that we have talent and skill, and right, we could fight. So, you know, so going back to Sergio Morris making those comments, he also doesn't understand that there's been many studies done, and the WBC backs this very much. There's been studies on women that we are more prone to head injury. We're more prone to concussions. We're more prone to those things. So that's one of the reasons why I believe that the boxing does not have us fight 3 minute rounds. You know, and, you know, going back to that knockout stuff. So also even whether we fight 3 minutes or we don't, and we fight two, I still believe we deserve to be paid the same. And then there's a lot of controversy on what does paid the same mean? Well, like for instance, Heather Hardy, there was an article about Heather Hardy. she fought four title fights. I think she fought four. And she went in to get a check after she was done. And the guy, there was another guy there that fought, and he didn't fight for a title. He didn't even fight 10 rounds. And he made such a huge amount of money. And he wasn't like a huge star. He might have been like a, you know, a guy coming up in the game. But why is this guy getting, you know, almost $200,000? I think it was 175 or 100 grand. It was something like that. For being, you know, 6 or 8 round fight.
Right.
But the Hardy fighting for a world title is maybe making 10 grand. You know, don't quote me on the numbers, but they're right in those ballparks. You know, even for Elin and I, for you know, making the TV, fighting the fight we fought, being, you know, a world title fight, we didn't make the money we should have made. And people argue it, well, you don't have the viewers, you don't have the people tuning in to see you. Well, that goes back to what I said earlier, is that you know, these networks and these promoters, they need to do what they do for MMA, how they put women on constantly, they put women on in the forefront. Yeah. But they're successful. You know, I know MMA is a whole nother sport, it really is, even probably the way they pay them. But they do supposedly pay their athletes better than they pay boxing, especially females. I think they're paid equally. I'm not 100% sure, but what I've heard is that they're treated really well, which is why I think a lot of female fighters, you know, transition into that sport and do it both. But it's something that it needs to change. There's a lot of ignorance out there. There's a lot. Like when I put that tweet out there, I said, I'm not saying, you know, pay us the same for nothing. But listen, if women are going to fight 3 minute rounds, you definitely better be paying us the same. Because I noticed that there was this always comes about women fighting 3 minute rounds. You want us to fight as much as the men. That's fine with me. I'll fight 3 minute rounds and I'll fight 12 rounds. We train like that anyway. But why don't you mention women being paid? Everybody knows we're underpaid. Everybody knows this. So that was my deal with that tweet on Twitter. It was like, why do they never mention about women being paid the same, but you keep talking about us fighting the same? Like, don't even give us a fight until you put on the contract. We're paying you the same and we're expecting you to fight the same amount of time. Fine, we'll all do it without a doubt. 1, 2, 3. But you know, it just changed.
Right. And I mean, the biggest problem too is, you know, obviously the pay, but the promotion is lacking. And, you know, I think the promotion behind women fighters in boxing is not good. And, you know, it's really not good for a lot of the men either recently, and just the promoting aspect. And that's such a key part of the sport. And I think what the UFC does really well in terms of just promoting their fighters, whether women or men, gets people interested in the backstory. You know, some of my past interviews, I talked with some people who were involved with HBO's 24/7 special, and like how impactful that was in getting fans to see, you know, the backstory on these guys. Like, for example, with the De La Hoya Mayorga fight years ago, no one really knew who Mayorga was until 24/7 went in and really documented his life and really, you know, people were like, oh my God, this guy's crazy. You know, what a story he's got behind him. And then people were really bought into that fight and wanted to see it. Even though, you know, Oscar was clearly the better fighter, the promotion created buzz. And I think that's what's really lacking nowadays in boxing as a whole, and most clearly in the women's side. You know, the promotions just need to step it up big time, because like you said, there's so many quality fights happening. Even this past weekend, you know, with Katie Taylor and Person, you know, that was another classic fight. A war that was on DAZN, and you know, that was their rematch. That was a fight that I thought could have gone either way. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people had similar opinion, but you know, these fights are readily available and need to be promoted, because like you said, the women are putting on great shows.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think the promotion is key. I think there needs to be more backstories, needs to be more 24/7s, digging into the fighter's life. You know, I was actually really grateful that when I did fight on Showtime, they did that for Elin and I. Well, me specifically, they didn't do it for Elin. Maybe because she was over in Sweden, so it was a lot easier for them to film me here. But they did it for me, which I was so grateful for, because I wasn't the main event. I wasn't the co-main event, but I was the first fight out of the night. And they did do a small interview with me, which gave the fans that don't know me some more background of who I am, which is super duper important. They, you know, the audience is visual. They need visual content. They need information. They need to know who we are, not just throw us in the ring. And another thing with boxing too is, like, yes, we're starting to come up with the women. It's a wonderful thing, but there's still, like, if you're not Kay Taylor and you're not Clarissa Shields, it's still such a major struggle to break through, because they need to show more variety of who, what other women are out there. And so, okay, say it's Katie Taylor and Clarissa Shields. Well, they need to start putting on other athletes that are in their weight classes and make other stars in the divisions. That's also going to entice the viewers and widen the audience. You know, they need to see that these aren't the only two major athletes and superstars. There are other superstars that exist that people still don't know about yet. And that'll make the sport for women, especially, and the viewers, more enticing and more exciting, and they'll want to see more of it. You'll click the TV on and you're not going to see Clarissa on the card one day. You're going to see three other women in her weight class that are, you know, doing amazing things. And it leads up, a better lead up to a bigger fight with Shields or Katie Taylor.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I think, like, the main cards and the way things are put together, you know, that it needs to be improved. But to go back to your point on Sergio Mora's comments, well, like, I obviously disagree with his comments, and it's really, like, the opposite, because you want more rounds and more time on the clock. I mean, I think there's a lot of women's fights where people get hurt and the round ends, and that time isn't there to get the finish, and there are finishes in women's boxing, but I think there would be even more, you know, with a 3-minute round. You know, I don't know if that is, like you said, I mean, it's a safety thing, but, you know, I would be a supporter to increase it to 3-minute rounds. I mean, I don't see why not, really.
As long as they pay us for 3-minute rounds, as long as they, because people are like, well, what do you want to do? You want to get paid like Canelo? Like, listen, I'm not saying you got to pay everybody like Canelo, you know, but if you compare a woman next to a super green pro that is just starting, a woman that's fighting a world title and a brand new prospect that's just beginning his career, only fighting 4 rounds, there's some guys like that make way more money than the girls fighting for a world title.
Right. Yeah.
It's not fair. Like, it's got to be fair. It's got to be equal. And yeah, like, okay, so who's the Canelo in the business? I have potential to be Canelo. Katie Taylor has potential to be Canelo. Forget potential. We are. I mean, right now, Katie Taylor and Clarissa Shields in those two divisions are huge superstars. Well, why are they not paid like Canelo? Because I know those girls could be making more money too. They're definitely probably the top paid women. But what are they making? 300 grand? You know, come on, what is that? When Canelo's making millions? Three. So it's just not right. It doesn't make sense. So, you know, that's my battle with that. Another thing, going back to why you might not see as many knockouts in women, I really believe that God just made us tougher. We're built to bear babies. We're built to go through birth. We're built to go through things that men could not bear. Men could not handle it. I mean, you know, it's like a stereotype, but there's some truth to stereotypes. Men are always bigger babies when they get hurt. They just are. They're bigger babies when they get sick, when they get hurt. Women aren't built like that. Like, we can endure so much pain, physically, mentally, everything. We can endure tons of pain. I think that's another reason why that we last. We're just, like, so many women are just built with so much tenacity and resilience that you can't knock us out.
You just can't. Well, you certainly showed that, I mean, in your last fight. And that's, like, you know, that was definitely the fight of the night, the best fight on the card, no doubt. And, you know, there's been talks, I know, about a rematch for that. But then I know you also are, you know, thinking about other weight classes potentially and sort of maybe going back down. What are your plans, I guess, for that? Are you looking for that rematch and then go down? Or
definitely want the rematch with Elin. I know I can beat her. I was one stupid point because she knocked me down. If it wasn't for that, that's my fight. That's my night. I know that. So I definitely want that rematch. I know Showtime wants that rematch, so I'm excited for that. But truthfully, I'm not a 68 pounder. It's too heavy for me. It's way too heavy. I'm best at 50. The lighter I am, the better I am. I'm best at 54 and 60. 168 it's too big for me. I'm only 5'5". I'm not that big. These girls they're monstrous, but I'll take them on. Like Elin's like 6 foot. That girl was towering over me, but after she knocked me down, I got stronger and stronger and stronger. I broke her nose. I gave her hell. I was in her kitchen scrambling her eggs. Like, you know, I'll take that fight again in a heartbeat. I would love every match.
The photo you posted was so telling. I thought, like, at the end of the fight, and she was up, like, her hands up against the ropes, clearly exhausted. And you were walking away, had some blood coming down, but you definitely looked like the Empress in that moment.
Thank you. That was an awesome photo. Whoever captured that, they did a great job. But yeah, the plan is to you know, go back down. But I would definitely take the opportunity and rematch Elin at 68 for sure.
What's the dialogue around that fight currently? Are there plans to make that happen before the end of the year, or potentially like a fight like they've been doing with no fans, or what's the?
No, I don't think so. I spoke to my promoter during this, you know, pandemic that we're in. He said, honestly, he was like, you'll be lucky if you fight this year, but I don't think it's going to happen. You know, our best bet is sometime in 21. So, you know, that's it. Cause he's not putting on any shows right now either. You know, DeBella, he's not putting on any shows. She, as I heard, doesn't even have a date with Showtime. So, you know, and I don't see Showtime making any space for me to rematch Elin if they're not, you know, putting her on. You know, so this year is shot. It's crazy because going into 21, you're thinking it's going to be the best year. And there was a lot of upsets in the beginning of 20, me being one of them, you know. So I'm not worried about it. You know, God has his plan. I'm definitely not done in the ring. So when the time comes, the time will come. It'll be just right, just perfect. And I can't wait to get that ball rolling again.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think all the fight fans are itching for everything to come back. You know, DAZN, I'll complain for you, but I think Showtime and PBC, you know, they've been slacking a little bit with their just organization, I think, in getting fights out because, you know, look at what Eddie Hearn's doing with DAZN. He put on fight camp in his backyard. He's getting fights churned out week after week. You know, this past weekend there was Porter versus Formella, which was a pretty good show and had some younger guys on the card as well. And the towering inferno, Fedora, 6'6" welterweight, super welterweight is crazy. So some young guys that, you know, put on some good shows, and but there needs to be more, and hopefully, you know, these promoters and Showtime can start pushing some stuff out, because I think the fans want it. You know, there's not a lot going on right now. Everyone's in their house and kind of looking for fights to watch, and a rematch of yours would be, you know, top notch and top entertainment based off of the first one. So hopefully those take place soon. But to switch gears a little bit, you know, off of your pro career, obviously you're also, you know, a businesswoman and an entrepreneur with Over Boxing Club, your gym in Brooklyn and in Manhattan. And, you know, I wanted to touch on kind of how that all came together, because I know you're, you know, obviously a huge part of that and running that as well.
Well, that started about 5 years ago now. Joey Goodwin, who is, you know, the CEO, the founder of this beautiful brand that has been built, he's really the visionary of it. He's done an amazing job. you know, he met me in Mendez Boxing Gym because that's where I was training at the time. And he asked me if I'd like to come on board and help him start to create this world of Overthrow. And he also had his best friend, John Gagliano, which is like the back end guy. He's the nuts and bolts of the, you know, the apparel and the website and all that stuff. You know, so Joey's a visionary, the idea man. John's the nuts and bolts and on the sweat and muscle. So we put it all together. And then, you know, within the past year or two, we brought on Brian Murphy, who is amazing, amazing businessman, really smart guy. He's the GM. He keeps everything together. So it's four of us that have just been, you know, running this world. And we're like just a couple of young New York kids, really, that started it from nothing on our own. You know, no capital from anybody else, just from the ground up. We did it by tooth and nail and hanging by a thread. And it's been really interesting. We have no investors. We really just did this on our own, and we're still surviving, and we hope to continue to grow and to make it a really big and amazing thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a fun, I've taken the classes, I've taken your class before, and, you know, I'm a boxing fan first, but, you know, obviously like to get a workout in, and through boxing, it's a fun thing to do. So great vibe in the gym itself. And, you know, I'm looking forward to coming back once everything gets rolling again. But I know you're also pretty artistic, right? In terms of like painting, and I've seen some interviews you like to paint as well, right? Use your hands in other ways.
Yes, I do. I love to paint. I haven't painted in a little bit though, you know, with Overthrow starting to really grow, with my fight career starting to really grow, I've just been so consumed with boxing that I haven't really had time to step aside and just decompress and paint. Also, like my husband and I, we bought a house, renovating. We're finally in our house. We moved in May, actually, during this pandemic. But between the wedding and the house and the career and the business, there hasn't been much time for the other things that I love. But I'm hoping that soon I can take out a canvas and get back to work and really, you know, exercise the other talents that God has given me.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like a lot of fighters and athletes that I talk to, there's always kind of another creative side to them or artistic side. And I know obviously there's so many parallels with fighting and boxing and people saying that's their form of expression. So it's interesting that, you know, you express yourself in the ring, but also like to do it in other ways through art and your gym as well. Maybe we'll see some of your artwork on some of the new Overthrow apparel or something like that. That'd be a cool little crossover.
Yeah, I've been telling Joey that because he is so like, I'm the visionary and I want what I want. And it's amazing. I love him, but he's pretty stubborn sometimes. But yeah, I definitely would love that. I would love that. And you're right, because a lot of athletes are artists, because boxing boils down to being, you know, a sport where you perform. You're a performer, you're an artist. Boxing is an art. So there's like many people in the boxing world that could sing or dance or paint or act. It falls into that pot of the art.
Yeah, I mean, I think that so many people kind of forget that boxing, you know, is the Western martial art. And, you know, there's such a beauty to the skill of it. And I think it's really underappreciated. So it's always great to see people really talk on the technical side of things and really dive deeper into that. So maybe with women's fights coming up, we'll have to do some breakdown videos where me and you kind of dive deeper into it, because I know the fans would love your breakdown of the fight and really get to understand what they're watching in the ring. I think that's a kind of a lost part of a lot of the commentating, is it's focused on just kind of the, you know, the basic stuff, but doesn't really focus on the real footwork and skill that's going on in the ring.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. And, you know, my promoter, he brought me on last year to commentate for Broadway Boxing, which is awesome. And that's one of the things that I do like to dive into, is to look at the footwork and look at that form. And because those are the things that I see. Those are the things that that make me great, make me better, is being able to dissect the art and to perfect it. And, you know, not every commentator has that eye.
Right. And what do you see in some of these, you know, younger fighters, Jessica McCaskill, obviously getting the big win over Cecilia Bareikas, and like, what are your thoughts on her skill set? And, you know, obviously a massive victory. Cecilia was undefeated and really kind of changing of guard there in that division.
Yeah, that was an awesome fight. I was a little surprised to not see Cecilia do more. I don't know if, like, you know, like they say when you mention retirement, your foot is at the door and, you know, the other one's ready to follow real quickly. It looked like that to me when she fought. It looked like she kind of just was done, kind of gave up. She didn't put up a fight that I wanted to see. McCaskill definitely controlled the pace of that fight. She controlled every round. I wasn't really agreeing with some of the scoring as far as, you know, the connection, the punch connects. I think McCaskill really just dominated her. Some moments were a little sloppy, but she got the win. She was a bull. She just came forward, and sometimes coming forward, it gets ugly and sloppy. But I think she still has a lot to learn in the sport. She's just going to continue to get better and better and perfect her craft like we all do. You know, we want every next fight to be better than the last. I think she's a great athlete, a great champion. I'm so happy to see her take on this just amazing victory and, you know, defeat one of the greatest champions of all time. You know, Brackhouse is amazing. Yeah, she really is. And it's sad to see her go too, especially with women starting to come up. Like, now is the time for all of us to shine. And it's sad to me because it's like she was so great for so long, and now it's kind of over for her, and she's not going to get that opportunity as we grow in the sport to show the world who she is. But I think she's done really well. I think a lot of people know who she is. And I'm really happy to see great things come from McCaskill too, because I like to see her rematch Katie Taylor. I like to see her get better and continue to train.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like you said, it was kind of strange, even in the post-fight interview with Cecilia. She just seemed, she seemed very okay with the result. And, you know, I don't know if that was just, she was kind of, like you said, just one foot out the door already and kind of ready to pass the torch. But it just seemed like, you know, I guess it's her time to move on. But, you know, she did so much for women's boxing and obviously had a tremendous record. And I think McCaskill's a tremendous talent and, you know, is going to do great things in that division. But a lot of crossroads fights within divisions, especially with, you know, I think Michaela Mayer's scheduled to fight for a belt coming up soon. And then she could easily go up and fight Katie Taylor as well at 135. I think that would be a really interesting fight. Although I feel terrible for Persone, because I honestly feel like, not that she was robbed against Katie Taylor twice, but.
That's what I'm hearing. I still have to watch that fight because I had a big celebration this weekend with family and stuff. So I can't wait to like sit down, put my DAZN on and study it, because I've heard that it was another upset, robbery, disgraceful. Yeah.
I don't know if I would say it's tough. I'd like to hear what you think. You know, I think the tough part was, is she was definitely busier than Katie Taylor. You know, she was definitely the one pressuring and bringing the action, but it didn't seem like she was really landing as much at times. And Katie was just maybe a little bit more of a slick boxer, but it was so close. I mean, it really could have gone either way. So, you know, I know Eddie Hearn was, he was pushing for it to be like, Katie, put that one to bed. Like, now we're moving on. And it's like, yeah. I think you could run that back a third time easily.
Yeah, no, definitely. I wonder if they're going to do a third rematch or not.
I don't know. I don't think that they would want to, honestly, because it's, you know, both of those fights are very kind of controversial, and, you know, there's a lot of money behind Katie, so I'm sure Eddie's going to try to maneuver his way through that.
I agree with you. I think you're exactly right. Because he's putting his champion in a really risky situation. If it was that close the second time around, they're not going to go for a third one. I don't think at all.
Yeah, but that was a great night of fights, though. I mean, it was a great fight, so that was great. And then the main event, you know, Povetkin and White, and Povetkin, that was crazy. He was down twice in the fight. He's looking kind of slow. I started to think, well, he is 40 years old. Makes sense. And then next thing I know, he knocks Dillian White out cold, and it was just, like, shocking.
Watched it, even though you've given me all the juicy bits.
Oh, I don't want to play spoiler. I'm sorry.
I heard it was an amazing card, so I can't wait to sit down and watch it.
Oh yeah, there's even some of the you know, earlier fights. There's another matchup. I won't spoil this one, but there's some big punchers on the card. A lot of excitement. So yeah, you're definitely gonna enjoy rewatching that. But another thing I'm remembering now that I wanted to bring up is when you were talking about baseball and you were hitting all those home runs, and you know, that movement of like getting your hips through the ball and squashing the bug, as they say, with that back foot, you know, that translates right into boxing and your right hand and that power. And I'd assume that was a pretty smooth transition, right? Just athletically.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Without a doubt. And it is the same. It's the exact same thing when you're hitting that back. It's the same type of pivot when you're punching with your right hand. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was actually talking a couple of weeks ago. I did a podcast with DiBella, and we briefly were talking about Yankee Stadium and some of his history with it. And then, you know, I was saying, wow, you know, imagine if they could bring fights back to Yankee Stadium in the future. And, you know, that'd be one thing. You and Heather Hardy back in Yankee Stadium, I think you guys are the, you know, the queens of New York and queens of New York boxing. Wouldn't that be something? But, you know, I appreciate you coming on today. I had a blast talking with you about your story and boxing. And, you know, everyone go follow Alicia on our Instagram if you want to give it a shout out.
Yes, Boxing Napoleon. Pretty easy.
And, everyone go check this out when it comes out on YouTube, on the Pod Matrix. That's the channel. And then my Instagram is Brooklyn Boxing Podcast. Out soon. Can't wait for you guys to see it. So go check that out. Let's go.